Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, March 2nd. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. In late 2024, at least 10 faculty members and employees submitted complaints alleging discrimination by a Merced College dean.
I thought this was significant because it was a lot of complaints against one person in a short amount of time. It became clear to me that whatever happened here affected a lot of people.
How were those complaints investigated and what was the fallout? That's coming up in just a moment.
Your news day doesn't have to end after Central Valley Daily. Check out KVPR's broadcast where you'll get top headlines, in-depth analysis, and some fun pop culture coverage. Stream KVPR online at kvpr.org or through your smart speaker.
And now to our feature story. In late 2024, at least 10 faculty and staff members at Merced College all filed complaints against one of the college's longtime deans, John Albano. At that time, he was the dean of the School of Arts and Social Sciences. The complaints allege that he engaged in workplace discrimination, particularly against women and people of color. The college investigated the complaints and ultimately cleared him of all wrongdoing. But he moved laterally to a new position on campus, and administrators acknowledged in a document that this mitigated interactions during and after the investigations. Since then, Albano has had another career move at the college. He's returning to work as a professor. So, how have these events affected the wider campus community? KVPR's Merced reporter Rachel Livenall found the situation had far-reaching effects on students and employees, and some who filed complaints are even claiming retaliation. Rachel's multi-part investigation was done in partnership with our news partner, the Merced Focus, and she joins me today to discuss her reporting and the fallout at the campus over these complaints. Rachel, welcome.
Thanks, Liz.
Okay, so I first want to note that you began this reporting more than a year ago. A lot's transpired in that time, but just to start, why don't you tell us what initially tipped you off that something was happening behind the scenes at Merced College?
So I initially received a tip from an educator in Merced. At the time, she said an ethnic studies professor at Merced College was abruptly placed on leave in the middle of the semester, and that there were some students rallying behind this professor. She was helping them organize. This was in October of 2024, so well over a year ago now. I eventually found that this professor on leave had actually filed a complaint against a dean shortly before he resigned, but he wasn't the only one to file against this dean. At least 9 other employees did too, and they all did this around the same time. The dean is John Albano. He supervised the School of Arts and Social Sciences at the time. I thought this was significant because it was a lot of complaints against one person in a short amount of time. It became clear to me that whatever happened here affected a lot of people. The reporting led me to look into how this happened and what the effects of the situation were on the campus community.
Okay, so you report that you're aware of 10 faculty and staff members who filed complaints against this dean, John Albano, all in the same month. You've actually seen some of these complaints. What are some of the allegations against him?
The allegations came from faculty in his area and employees who worked under him. They centered around alleged workplace gender and race discrimination by Albano. Some employees said they felt intimidated by him. Others alleged having a hard time getting time off requests approved by him. For example, he allegedly made disparaging remarks about female employees and employees of color. One woman who worked under Albano alleged he made repeated comments to her about the food she ate and the clothes she wore. Albano also allegedly pulled one faculty member into his office and told her that she was a, quote, smart girl, and advised her to only hang out with certain faculty members. Complaints also alleged Albano had been involved in a few heated exchanges with an ethnic studies professor that others felt were racially charged.
And you've actually seen documents that prove the college did investigate at least some of those complaints. And to be clear, there were 10 in total. So what did the investigative process involve and what was the outcome?
The process was interesting, but also pretty complicated. Shortly after the complaints were submitted, the Human Resources Administrator reached out to complainants, telling them different things they needed to do in order to refile their complaint into what they called a formal complaint. That's essentially a request that would launch an investigation. Several people, for example, were told that they could only submit incidents that occurred within the last 6 months before filing. After that, only about 5 of the 10 people ended up resubmitting their complaints formally. The college then hired an outside investigator to look into the complaints. Documents we obtained from sources show the investigator conducted interviews with the people who filed and some witnesses. The investigator also used outside materials like email threads. But the investigations all ended in all the allegations being unsubstantiated. Free People did appeal these determinations to the Merced College Board of Trustees, but they were all rejected last year. And the people who didn't end up submitting a formal complaint received something called an informal resolution letter last year. The letter said some actions were taken already to informally resolve things, including the dean choosing to remove himself from that position and transferring into another dean position on the campus. They also gave a list of other things complainants could do, like having a conversation with the dean and a third party, or informal checkups by HR. But at least one source they spoke to didn't end up using any of those because they got the letter during the summertime when they were off, and they just wanted to put this all behind them.
It sounds like you reviewed a lot of documents, but how else did you actually carry this reporting out? How did you build up sources and a timeline to put together what was going on at the campus?
I started out by calling and meeting with sources who were a part of the situation or close to it in some way. I met with some people several times to get a good grasp of what was going on. Most of these people spoke with me on the record, but I did offer anonymity to others if they feared retaliation or other repercussions like losing future job opportunities. I also started asking these sources for documents to essentially prove what they were telling me. From them, I received submitted complaints, determination letters from the investigations, and email exchanges and informal resolution letters, just to name a few. I also sent the college plenty of public records requests and did receive many other documents, including a resignation notice and agreement from two complainants, as well as emails and texts between the dean and administration during his first transfer. In all, I reviewed more than 50 documents and spoke to 24 people.
So I have to ask, if the college ultimately found all of the allegations to be unsubstantiated, why did you feel that there was still a story here?
Yeah, what happened didn't stop with the end of the investigation. For one, having 10 people file a complaint against one person at the same time is odd enough. When I spoke to a legal expert on employment law, she also said she'd never heard of anything like that. I wanted to know why this happened and what led up to these employees submitting at the same time. There was also more that happened beyond the investigations that kept me reporting. For instance, even though the investigation found the dean committed no wrongdoing, he still ended up leaving his position and transferring to another dean position in an area he had little experience in, business and economics. I also recently found out that now he's stepping back into a faculty role too after this semester. I wanted to know what the reasons were behind that. And like I said, the complainants who submitted informal complaints received letters that told them that Albano's transfer into a different department did partly mitigate the interactions related to these complaints. So that right there was surprising. And the fact that more than one of the employees claimed they've been retaliated against since filing their complaints.
Okay, has there been fallout of this among employees? Were you able to speak to anyone who could tell you maybe how dynamics in the department or at the school have been affected?
Yeah, so several interesting things have happened among employees. First off, two ethnic studies professors ended up resigning very shortly after complaints were submitted in 2024. One of them was the professor placed on administrative leave that students were protesting about in my original tip. He ended up signing a resignation agreement that also included a non-disparagement agreement. It gave him paid leave until the end of the academic year and neutral job references, as long as he didn't speak about anything that disparaged the college, unless he believed it was unlawful. Those two were also the only two ethnic studies professors on campus. So it basically decimated that department for the rest of the academic year until others were hired. Aside from that, two other employees alleged they faced retaliation. One part-time faculty member found out all of her classes for last year were suddenly canceled after the HR investigation ended. The college said her classes were canceled due to district needs, and we did confirm classes were canceled for at least one other professor not involved in the complaint process as well. Another employee also found herself as the subject of a misconduct investigation after the dean's investigation had concluded. She said the college was investigating her for allegedly lying in her original complaint. She saw that as retaliation and resigned shortly thereafter. But even beyond that, employees I spoke with expressed discomfort and turmoil within the college because of the outcome of the investigations and Albano's transfers.
And this didn't just affect employees and faculty, but students too. So what was the effect of all this on students?
So I mentioned the ethnic studies professors abruptly resigned at the end of 2024. Because of this, students who had registered for their classes for the following spring semester were displaced. From my reporting, it seems about 300 of them. They were shuffled into different classes just weeks and days before the semester started, and some of them didn't ever end up finding a replacement. But the catch is, every student is required to take one ethnic studies class in order to graduate with an associate's degree. So students don't necessarily choose these classes, but they need them. And like I said, there was a group of students who loved their ethnic studies professor. That was the group that was protesting to get him back. To them, the class allowed them to speak freely about systemic issues they saw in society and in their personal experiences. The curriculum was really important to them.
How's the college responded to all of your reporting?
I sent the college several rounds of questions toward the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, but the college only responded to two of them. Both of them were email statements. Albano himself also responded to two rounds of questions with email statements. Ultimately, the statements reiterated the results of the investigations and denied all allegations against Albano. They also both said his latest announcement to move to a faculty position on campus had nothing to do with the complaint situation or with any media inquiries.
And lastly, Rachel, what's next? Where are you going from here?
I'm planning to look into the aftermath of this investigation. I'd like to see if and how leaders respond to this. I also submitted some public records requests related to a few other leads my sources told me in the course of this investigation, and I'm looking forward to getting documents from those.
KVPR reporter Rachel Livenall, thank you so much for joining me and breaking down your reporting.
Thanks for having me, Liz.
And that is today's show. Have feedback for Central Valley Daily, or maybe a story idea, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Email podcast@kvpr.org. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Livenall, Carrie Klein, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.